Okay, being 4:30, we'll go ahead and call the study session to order. And the first half an hour is for the city website and tourism website update.
Good evening, council members. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Tonight, we're going to talk briefly about, as you just mentioned, City of Blaine website redesign and our tourism website. So out with the old. Redesigning the new website or redesigning our current website and replacing it with a new website means that something has to go. We had several goals that we were wanted to achieve with the new website. Obviously here, you can see that it's just a little bit outdated. Some of the colors are not very appealing. Our logo, while it's a beautiful logo, is kind of squished up at the top. Our search bar is hidden. And we don't have as many elements as we'd like on the main page in order for people to click and find things that they're looking for on our website. And the other thing is that this is it. You can't scroll down because there's nothing lower than that. So there's good information here, but not enough of it and not always the right information. What we really wanted to accomplish was a better user experience. And what that means is easier navigation. We can reduce clicks. So having stuff that's right there on the front page that people are searching for and looking for, we can have those easier for them to find. We wanted to make sure that people know you can search. When we go online, we go to Google and we type in what we're looking for and we ask Google to find it for us, right? We can't navigate the web without some form of search engine. And so what we want to do is make sure that people know that they can search on our site so that they're not just clicking permits and then clicking around to find the right one. If you are looking for a certain type of permit, you can search for it and find it quick. Accessibility, which means making sure that our website is accessible to everyone who uses the internet, even those with disabilities. I talked a little bit about updating the look and feel, and primarily what we wanted to do was focus on our content delivery. And that takes all these elements into consideration, because at its core, what Civic Plus is a content delivery system. So we upload minutes, agendas, forms, permits, that kind of stuff onto the website, and then Civic Plus holds those for us, and then they disseminate them out to the people who come to our site and look for them. So content delivery really at its core is what Civic Plus does, and that's what they do for us. And so we wanted to focus on making sure that that works as well as it can, obviously. So what are people looking for when they come to our site? We can analyze the data on the back end and we can see the type of things that they're searching for and the things that they're clicking to. And these are things like facilities, career opportunities, utility billing, police operations. You guys can read, I don't have to do it for you. So I apologize for that. But these are the things that they're looking for, things that have to do with the everyday working of the city. But what you don't see up here is tourism, parks, things of that nature. And really, those kinds of searches are absolutely buried way down low. And so part of what we're doing tonight is explaining how we're going to go ahead and get that, increase that. So in with the new. So here's the new city website. So right away, you can see that the layout is better. We've got more buttons right there on the bottom. We've taken that data that we had on that second slide, and we've incorporated that into these, so made sure that all the things that people are searching for the most part, are right here. We've added some buttons up top. We've added a new web graphic that incorporates the trawler from our logo, as well as the wave that you see throughout the city. On the right-hand side, we've added a link that says Visit Blaine that will link directly to our tourism website. And we've obviously brought this search bar front and center, and it asks you a question now. Instead of just saying search, it says, how can we help you? And so we're trying to encourage people really to search for what they're looking for and get that information that they want as easily as possible. We talked before about how on the old city website, now you can't scroll down. Well, now you can. Now there's a whole page below here that includes even more news and information. So we have popular links, city news and updates. Below this, we'll have a calendar. We also have a frequently asked questions and another link section basically that we can update as often or as however we like. So if we get a complaint, somebody says, hey, I was looking for this and it's something that I really look for all the time and I couldn't find it, well, we can update that quickly now, as opposed to just having to walk them through how to search for it or how to click through to get it. We can just go ahead and update right there on the page, and then we can tell them, hey, it's there now for you. So here's a little bit closer look at the web graphic, incorporating the trawler and the wave. It's kind of hard to see on that other picture. Very clean, easy to see, easy to distinguish. And before we started this process, we asked for photo submissions from people here locally, and we got a lot of really good ones, some really high-res photos. And these three photos in particular were the inspirations that that Civic Plus took for their colors for our website. So we talked a little bit about what Civic Plus does and what our city website does well. And what that is disseminate information. But what it doesn't do is present a very good overall experience of the city of Blaine. It doesn't tell people that coming here is a good idea because we have things to do, we have great places to eat, we have beautiful things to see. It doesn't do any of that. So how are other cities addressing that? Obviously, they have to give out information as well. So here's just an example of a local city, Laconer. Obviously, it's a very popular tourist destination. But if you go to this site, you still see the same things. Bill pay, how do I find something from the court? How do I find a form, permitting? All of that stuff is pretty much the same. And this is the same platform at Civic Plus, because again, they do that very well. But now if you go to their tourism website, now they're asking you, or I guess telling you, come and stay, come and taste, come and play, come and shop. So they're giving you these, showing you what you can come and do there as opposed to just giving you out information. It's encouraging you to click through because there's not as much information on the page. So they want you to stay. They want to show you what they have there in their town. So here's an example of kind of the other extreme. So where we've kept it clean and tried to really highlight just the things that people are clicking, they've chosen to kind of put everything on the front page. And the result is that even though the information is there, it's extremely difficult to find. Right, trying to read through that to find exactly what you want is difficult, and you'll notice no search function. So in this site, you actually do have to click through if you want to find anything. So while the information is good, the overall layout and presentation isn't that great. And then if you go to their tourism website, you can see again, totally different. They're telling you what's happening in Leavenworth, all the events are down there. And obviously this is a picture of a website, not a website. So there's animation here. It's very vibrant. It kind of, as you scroll over it, it's coming alive and kind of making you want to click through and find out more about what's going on there. So at this point, I'll turn the presentation over to Eric, who will tell you a little bit more about our tourism website.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eric Schuckler. I'm with Bouncebox SPC. Just to give you a little bit of my background, I've been involved in tourism and marketing for over the last 25 years. We've done marketing campaigns and websites for multiple tourism destinations, including Washington State Tourism, Seattle Tourism, Mount Rainier Tourism, as well as San Juan Islands and a number of other destination marketing organizations. So why a tourism website? Well, quite frankly, the difference between municipal website and a tourism website has everything to do with the audience. So the audience that we're looking to reach with the tourism website is further than 50 miles away. So, oops. And the reason why we're looking to reach those people 50 miles away is why through a successful tourism website, what we're really looking to do is to drive overnight visits, to put fresh dollars into the local Blaine economy. As well as drive lodging tax dollars to further perpetuate opportunities to market Blaine itself. The three strategies, well, we use three kind of glib euphemisms in terms of tourism strategy. So the goals are to put heads in beds, which means overnight stays, what we call butts in seats, which means event attendance as well as local shops. And then feet on the streets, which is really sort of local proof. The site itself, what I'm going to show you is really just a sneak preview and a couple of static images of a few key pages. We're really excited to do the Blaine site because what we're looking to do is to pay off the marketing strategy that we also had a hand in help coordinate. So just to give you a little refresher, that was the nautical tourism strategy that we mentioned earlier. And with the nautical tourism strategy, it's really designed to be, the presence itself is designed to be fresh, optimistic, clean, and approachable. In order to help set visitors' expectations about what they expect to find when they visit Blaine. Here's a snapshot of the homepage itself. It's divided into a few simple sections. We'll be using a large, what we call a hero image or slideshow. Below that, we'll have introductory copy, some simple introductions, an event slot, as well as an opportunity to provide constantly refreshed images via Instagram. Here's a much closer view. So the problem with showing these kinds of slides is the fact that they are in fact static. So what I'd like to do is kind of show you where we're headed with this. So this is Newport, Rhode Island's homepage. So what they're using is drone footage, which has really only become available, I would say, within the last probably 3 years, that broadband acceptance has gotten to the point where it's reasonable to start showing full motion, full video. And the same thing with also doing it as almost full screen is the idea that because we spend so much time on mobile devices, we're completely used to scrolling. So this idea of above the fold really doesn't come into play that much anymore. And really what these sites are designed to do, especially with the video, is to provide an immersive experience to the visitor. I mean, give them a sense of really what what a city looks and feels like. So let's go ahead and jump back to the where we're at. So, okay. So scrolling down the page again is the sense of what can I expect when I come to visit Blaine? And so the things that we want to provide, much like with the civic site, is really kind of these shortcuts to answer commonly asked visitor questions, which is, if I'm coming to Blaine, what can I expect to find there? What can I do? Where can I stay? Where can I eat? Because of Blaine's proximity to the border, there's a lot of uncertainty regarding the border itself. So we want to be able to answer those questions, as well as provide a sense of what events are coming. What we're looking to do is provide a showcase for coming events. And then this idea of Blaine on Instagram, and apologies for the piece of bread, but really what that is, that's actually a live image as of today from Instagram. Somebody geolocated a piece of bread. So it's local bread. But what's nice about this is we actually have an opportunity to curate this feed. So within the content management system, we can see the images that are coming in via Instagram, and we can actually edit out images such as the bread. Here's an example of the things to do page. Again, we're looking to follow a clean, clear pattern so that users, when they visit the pages, they know where to look and what to expect. So again, this will be a series of easily categorized items. This idea of you don't have to sail to be a sailor addresses the idea of a brand and the kinds of visitors that we're looking to attract. Here's a set of kind of shortcuts to points of interest as well as activities. Here's really sort of the core of the website itself. In addition to providing a sense of what it is and setting user expectations, what this website really has to be able to do is present lodging properties in an attractive way and a clear and simple call to action. So what the site can do is we have an opportunity where you're seeing a single image. This we can provide multiple slides as well as video in this area. The local properties themselves can provide copy and their own descriptive. The information that we'll be providing consistently across all tourism-related businesses from Blaine, including points of interest as parks, is we'll do address, contact information, we'll map the locations, as well as, in this case, nice big red button that says check availability. Is really what we want to be able to do is keep score. What a tourism website can and cannot do in this case is we can track what we're calling referrals to businesses, but it'll be on the businesses themselves to complete the transactions. And this also gives a small indication that we can also provide multiple feeds from Instagram as well. So The website can include individual locations as well as hashtags. So Semiahmoo actually has a really vibrant feed. The location has about 10,000 images on Instagram at this point. So again, it's something that's constantly updated. So the site itself, without us necessarily having to touch it, can constantly feed itself and refresh. All that said, just to kind of give you a sense of where we're at in the build process, we are about 3 weeks out from having a fully reviewable demo. And then from that point, we're about 5 weeks out from going live. I think that's really it for this point. I mean, I'm sure that you have questions, and we'd love to chat with you.
Any questions?
The boat logo that was on. Holly, is your mic on? The boat logo. That's much better. That Jason had shown. Is that the tourism logo, or is that another logo besides our official Blaine logo, and how will it be used?
So that I wouldn't refer to it as a logo because we're not trying to create a new brand. What we're using is that web graphic just for the city site in the top corner there. We want to make sure that people see recognizable elements from the logo and included that wave that we see on the signs throughout the city. But we want to make sure that it looks nice and clean on there. And our logo is actually on the front page of the website. It's at the bottom, and it's full. The full logo is there.
Okay. And the boat logo then shows up on a different page than the front page?
Yeah, it'll show up on the front page in the same spot in the top right. So it kind of functions like a home button, basically, for the page.
Okay, and one question.
Yeah.
For Eric. Instagram is photos, pretty much photos only, right? There's no verbiage, or do people put captions? Or
they do, in fact, put captions, and then people can comment on the images themselves.
Okay.
So this
but
is
for the purposes of the tourism website, it's just going to be showing photos.
Exactly. So the purpose of the site really is to be image heavy, to kind of encourage people to spend time on the site to browse. Mm-hmm. So unlike the city site, which is really transactional, which is really get the information you're looking for and move along with your day.
Right.
This website is really a sense of like, you know, I kind of want to linger on it and, you know, think about making trip plans.
Right. So. Yeah, it's meant to be more entertaining than the municipal.
Exactly. So it's entertain me, inform me.
Okay, that's all.
Any other questions from any other councilmembers?
Just a comment. I really like the actual city website being so clean. Thank you. That looks so much better and easier to manage.
Thank you. Yeah, I wish I could take credit for it, but the City Plus did a really nice job designing that.
I would say that one of the key things with that new website, which I'm really fond of, is the search bar being front and center, because having used our website for years and walked people through our website for years in response to questions, the first question usually is, did you try typing that in the search bar? And if you do that with them while you're on the screen, right? It's usually you're on the phone, they're on their computer, you're on your computer, we've done this hundreds of times. And if they type it into the search bar, it usually is the first hit or one of the top hits, but people just aren't, it's not intuitive. But as we talked about, we Google constantly. So we're hoping just placing it front and center will change the whole user experience.
Any other questions from the council?
Thank you, gentlemen. We really appreciate the time you've taken
for
the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and then we'll start the second half of the study session. Excuse me. Let's call the second half of the study session to order, and the subject is the Woodbury PUD and preliminary plat. And Stacey, that's you.
That's me.
It's me, council member.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good evening, Madam Mayor, council members, administration staff, and also members of the public here this evening. The purpose of this evening's study session is for the Community Development Services Department to describe the Planning Commission's recommendation regarding the proposed Woodbury Planned Unit Development, or PUD, and subdivision. Provided in advance of this session to the council was the department's analysis of the request pursuant to state and local code, the public comments, the Planning Commission's conclusions of law and findings of fact, and a draft ordinance should it be the council's pleasure to take action on the proposal later this evening. My presentation will synopsize the factual, procedural, and the legal information of the proposal. I didn't introduce myself. My name is Stacey Pratchner. I am the Community Development Services Director for the city. The Woodbury project is a proposal for a 29-lot, single-family, gated residential neighborhood with associated public improvements. The applicant, the Cascade Engineering Group, and the property owners are here this evening in support of that request. The subject property is located in the 8900 block of Semyama Parkway, and it totals approximately 9.97 acres in size. The land use and receiving zoning designations are both identified as residential planned recreation. The purpose of the RPR zoning is to support both residential and recreational land uses. This next slide identifies the location of the property, just south of Semyama Spit and adjacent to the Whatcom County line. The property is bordered by recreational and residential development to the east and to the south. There's current construction north in the subdivision named Sea Smoke, and then undeveloped unincorporated property to the west. That is the unincorporated county. The site currently is wooded and undeveloped. The draft site plan, and in this case, north is pointing to the left, if you're looking at that screen right there, demonstrates the proposed layout of the lots, the internal roads, the open space tracts that will support vegetative buffers and neighborhood amenities, and the location of the stormwater pond in the northern part of the project site. Access is going to be from a gated entrance from Semyama Parkway. The applicant proposes 29 residential lots between approximately 8,200 square feet and 13,000 square feet. Ingress and egress from Semyama Parkway is going to be marked by a vegetated island with the gated entrance. I'm moving left to right in some of these images here. Stormwater is going to be collected and stored in a detention pond, and that stormwater tract is also going to support a nature trail, interpretive signage, and seating. The internal private roads are going to have sidewalks and also allow parking on both sides of the street. The open space tracts will feature ornamental and native vegetation, and the open space tracts will be irrigated as well. The residential planned recreation zone in which the project is located requires 12 design elements that must be included as part of the master plan for the PUD. Now, this slide demonstrates the proposed home design within Woodbury if the project does move forward to the construction stage. The applicant has proposed four deviations from those 12 design elements, three of which the Planning Commission has recommended approving. These three deviations include the addition of brick as a siding material, in addition to the wood and other materials, slightly less steep roofs, and also additional foundation exposure. So instead of six inches of foundation exposure, they would be closer to 12. The Blaine Municipal Code recognizes three broad categories of land use permits. There's the administrative decisions, quasi-judicial decisions, and then legislative. PUDs and preliminary plats are identified as quasi-judicial applications. They're proceedings that resemble a court decision when the decision-making body, and in this case that's the City Council, considers the legal, procedural, and the factual information to ultimately make a decision. This timeline that the department's prepared demonstrates the proposal's compliance with both legal and procedural criteria, starting with the initial community conference that was held in mid-2017, then the acceptance of the complete application, the issuance of a SEPA threshold determination, mitigated threshold determination of non-significance, the length of the public comment periods, the one open record public hearing as authorized by RCW 4321C, and ultimately a recommendation by the advisory board, in this place the Planning Commission, based on the public input and technical analysis of the proposal by the department. The Planning Commission has determined that as condition, the proposal meets the bulk, dimensional, and the environmental requirements of the Blaine Municipal Code. That the procedures for, that the procedural requirements for a type 2 quasi-judicial application have been met, and that there will be adequate provisions for roads, drainage, and utilities. The Commission has recommended 31 conditions of approval, and those are including but not limited to limiting the parking of RVs within the subdivision, and so those provisions would be substantially similar to what the SRA permits. Phased clearing so that trees are maintained during construction, while that takes place on the property. That mitigated SEPA condition for robustly vegetated buffer adjacent to Semyon Parkway, but no allowance for perimeter fencing. The applicant, as at the Planning Commission's recommendation, also provided revised density and open space calculations that remove the portion of the property that lies north of the fire station from the gross acreage. So the applicant has demonstrated that with that reduced acreage, so not including the parcel that's north of the fire station, the project as proposed will still meet the density limitations and open space requirements of the RPR zoning designation. The Planning Commission has recommended that the City Council approve the Woodbury PUD and the preliminary plat. That ends my synopsis, and I'd be happy to take any questions from the Council.
Before you do, sir, this is kind of on the fly here. I know you've received, this is John Sitkin, Council. I know you've all received a number of comments. There's a number of people interested here. Typically, before you would take action on something at the regular meeting, we would go through our dialogue about appearance of fairness and conflicts of interest and that kind of thing. But because of the work session, I'd like to do that here now. We'll do it again later for the record. But the reason being is that if someone had a bias, was asking questions, and then later recused themselves, that we don't want to have something affect the dialogue that you have. So has anybody been contacted about this matter prior to tonight's meeting in any fashion? If you had, let us know, and then I'll have some other questions. So I'll just go from left to right. Charlie View?
Yes.
Councilmember Rule?
By anybody?
Anybody, yes. other than city staff?
No.
Other than the emails staff. We've received,
yes.
That all of us has received.
Yes.
So another one-on-one personal, no.
Or emails, that outside of the cast staff pack.
Yeah, no.
Councilmember Stewart?
Yes.
Okay, so at least two of you have. I'll start back to left. Have you received anything, any information from anybody that is not already in the packet of material that the city staff has provided to you that were part of the public comments at the Planning Commission?
No.
So anything you heard was not new. You need to speak into the mic, Shirley. So nothing you received was new information or different. Okay.
No.
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 Okay. So, is anything about what you've heard about this, do you have any personal interest in this? I'll go through everybody on this. Any personal interest in this matter as an applicant or opponent or anything like that? Charlie?
No.
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 No. And Stuart. So all six members said no on a conflict of interest question. And is there any reason that you know of that you cannot be fair and impartial to all sides that are coming forward and that are interested in this matter today? They won't be testifying today, but can you be fair and impartial as to this matter tonight?
Yes.
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 Yes. Charlie?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All council members said they can be fair and impartial in this matter. And I guess the only things there, two council members said they had been contacted by other people in the community and provided information, but it was the same information that was already in the record of the Planning Commission. I don't see a problem with that. Does anybody have any objections or concerns to the council members remaining on the council tonight? We're not hearing anything, anyone standing up, so thank you, Kemp, for indulging me.
Thank you, Mr.
Sitkin. Thank you.
Can I have my notes back?
Oh, no. It's a lawyer's trick to get up
I
there.
I see what you did there. Be happy to answer any questions from the council.
Charlie, any questions?
Not right now.
Okay. We'll start with Mary Lou.
I just have some comments. First of all, let me make it very clear in reference to what Mr. Sitkin said. I am very interested in the welfare of the city of Blaine, and I understand that this means we need to promote development. As Dave Wilberg used to say, we have to grow out of our financial situation, and I agree with that, absolutely. I also understand that if we are asking businesses to come to the city of Blaine, we need to provide housing for their employees, and that is also in the interest of Blaine, both of them. So my record will clearly show that although I personally was not a great fan of Marin C, I did not oppose it. I voted for it. Although personally I had reservations about sea smoke, I supported it. So I am not opposed to development. That being said, I also was absolutely determined when I got my package yesterday on my way to a delightful concert from the Japanese students that I was going to be absolutely fair and open-minded and look at it because I wanted to find the sweet spot that would satisfy the needs of the city of Blaine and its citizens and the interests of the people that are affected by this. So I read through every single solitary page in this. And what I came up with initially were some concerns. First of all, I was intrigued by the fact that there is no comment from the Semiahmoo Resort, and there was none for Marin C, which is interesting because, as you know, the resort, Semiahmoo Resort, is absolutely vital to the well-being of the city of Blaine. And as they are the nearest neighbors to this project, they have the most to be involved in, if at all. But they did not comment, and I suspect they decided to stay out of this as they did with Marin C. That's fine. So I have three concerns. First of all, have to do with trees. And the idea that a 20-foot buffer of low shrubs will be adequate, I have a problem with. You only need to go by sea smoke and realize that a 20-foot buffer is inadequate to provide a visual screen for any removal of trees and building that is going on behind there. There is in potential condition number two, a mention of perhaps increasing that to 30 feet, and I strongly suggest that this be done. The second thing that concerns me is potential condition number 1B on page 3, and this is very confusing. Individual lots shall not have areas within side and rear setbacks cleared. I don't understand that, and I think that needs clarification. I completely understand that in the development of this project, a space needs to be cleared from the parkway to allow for the road, the entrance road to be built, and the road within the development to be built, and the utilities associated with that. I understand that. Trees need to be removed for that reason. However, I can find no reason why, until the lots are actually going to be built upon, that any clearing be done on any of the lots until they're ready to be built on. This is the practice up until recently for the rest of the Semiahmoo Resort. I think it should be what should be done here. And this is clearly in most of those 53 comments was the concern of the residents because we have Carnoustie, which is clear cut. We have Horizon, which is clear cut, with no building on either of those projects, no income to the city or very little from people living there paying taxes, and no benefit to the citizens of Blaine having a clear-cut property. We do not need a third. So I suggest that this be a priority and a condition for this to go forward. Looking at the design of the plan, I can see 7 designated areas where a cluster of 3 to 5 trees are going to be planted, plus the area off Semiahmoo Parkway, giving a total of 40 to 50 trees in what is now hundreds of trees. So clearly there is going to be a considerable change in the local environment. The one that really find confusing, and I hope you can explain this to me, is on page 13 of 16, number 5. According to 17.74.080.D, street trees are required on all arterial roads, such as Semiahmoo Parkway. However, in the comment it says, based on the forested nature of this area, it is determined that forcing the developer to plant trees along the Semiahmoo Parkway is excessive and therefore should be waived. I do not understand that. Are they saying because there's trees north and south along the parkway that they can clear cut those trees and turn them into shrubs? Or are they saying, which I hope they are saying, and I hope, and this also needs to be clarified, that those trees that are presently present along that parkway must be maintained and cannot be removed. And in addition, new trees should be added to maintain a visual buffer. So again, that needs to be clarified, why that was asked to be waived. So, I will come now to the deviations, page 6 of 16. During the removal process of this piece of land from the Resort Semiahmoo Master Plan, there was a time of public discussion. And at the end of that, in October 2014, Michael Coulthard, and this is where Stacy, you gave me a copy of this letter as I asked for it, so it is not in the package, but it was in the presentation of the study session. So this is something I have received from you at my request, and I'm thankful for. Because this letter was told to me that it was the SRA giving approval for removal of Woodbury. In fact, it is not that at all. What the discussion was, and apparently in negotiations with people of the ASC and the SRA, was 12 conditions that must be satisfied in keeping with the general characteristics of the surrounding SRA. There were 12 conditions. At the time, the Planning Commission proposed that the developers only had to abide by 10. Michael Coulthard's letter says he does not agree with that. He only approves that all 12 conditions be met. Yet here in this proposal, you are allowing only 8 of these conditions to be mandatory. So in addition to the siding, which I'm sorry, I don't really understand what a hardy plank siding is or what it means. I don't really care. As far as the foundation, this mystifies me. Why would somebody want a 12-inch foundation showing rather than a 6-inch? I don't understand the benefit to anybody of that. I'm sorry, I don't. The roof pitch, I have no problems with. I do have a problem with rear yard perimeter fencing because lots 1, 4, 5, 21 to 23, 29, these rear fencing will be those that will be right next to the Semiahmoo Parkway and therefore will be visible to those playing golf and those on the other side and those walking their dogs, whatever. Also, that fencing is totally out of character with the rest of the SRA. So there's no harmony there at all. Also, you didn't consider the effect on the wildlife. The deer live there and they cross through there onto the golf course all over this SRA. That's why we don't have fencing in the SRA designated area, because we want the wildlife to be able to move freely. Fencing is going to make that very difficult, and that was not addressed. Part of the fencing also is vinyl-coated chain link. That is not harmonious with what is right across the street from that. I'm sorry. The final area of concern I have is your diagram, or their diagram, showing the 9.743 acres. I don't understand the open area concept. I'm not arguing that. What I am concerned about is the density calculations. 9.743, then they said minus zero for the roadway. And the reason they said that, and this is the developer's calculation, was that it was a private road, not a public road. I'm sorry, a road is a road is a road. You cannot build a house on a road. You cannot plant tulips on a road. So that 1.5 acres of roadway is not available for a lot. It is not available for a house. It should be subtracted from the gross acreage. If you subtract that 1.5 acres, you come down with 8.2 acres. And at 3 houses per acre, you're only allowed 24 lots, not 29 lots. So I dispute that, and I think another opinion, not the developer's opinion, might be useful. Finally, I'm concerned about the timeline, up to 10 years potentially before any of this is done. And just as a side issue, in the diagram that you have provided, it clearly shows West Lane as being either F or G, I can't remember, Cannery Hill being the other, G or F, whichever, as being removed. I understand that. What is missing from both F and G is Woodbury, and yet it was tagged on. It was never part of Cannery Hill, according to the diagram. But it was tagged on to be removed. It is removed, I accept that. But I'm just telling you, it was removed as part of something it wasn't part of. But, so I was hoping, and I honestly, in my mind, read through this, trying to find a very simple proposal that would meet these needs. And it seems to me that simple proposal is to demand 30-foot buffer with 70 to 80% tree screen to protect the rest of the development from those 4 deviations, which will have significant impact. And that's what my intention and what my hope was coming to this. Unfortunately, I read as the very last thing in this packet the letter from Lisa Cruikshank, which I find extremely troublesome. She says, regardless of whether the development proposal moves forward, the property will be cleared. All right? She then goes on to complain about bringing logging trucks in more than once. We do it in Semiahmoo all the time. But she says in another paragraph, in the event that the property is cleared and many of the proposed future lots are left in grassy vegetation, the view will be very similar to the golf course property across the road, and she has a number of photographs, which is not what it's going to look like. I have a photograph of Carlusti, which I see every day, and it is ugly and it is a scar. There is nothing attractive about this whatsoever. The final thing that she mentions, which I can find even more troubling, is in addition, a review of the assessor parcel map shows that nearly all the addresses of those who have submitted comments are not even within proximity or site of the Woodbury plat. This is troublesome. First of all, we are a community. What happens in one part of the community affects all of us, whether we are right next door or a 30-minute walk away. And to insinuate that we have no right to complain about something if it's not right next door is deeply troublesome. And it affects our enjoyment of our property, it affects our real estate values, and it affects everything. So I think that this letter should not have been sent, and I think it only aggravates. It certainly changed my mind when I read it, and that's all I have to say.
Stacy, is there anything else you want to commit or anything to say?
Yeah, certainly. So thank you, Council Member, for bringing those points forward. I'd like to take an opportunity to respond to a couple of the statements made in order to inform the possible action later this evening, if I may. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Madam Mayor. With the in response to the density calculations, the section of code that is referenced there calls out gross versus net acreage. In that calculation, the code states public rights of way. In the case of this particular project, there won't be any dedication of public rights of way because there are no public roads. And so that's where you're seeing that calculation, why that's included in that amount. In response to the street trees, that was a recommendation from the Planning Commission based on that vegetative buffer and the SEPA mitigated determination of non-significance. As you had mentioned, Council Member, going from that 50 to 70%, possibly with that 70 to 80, 20-foot versus the 30-foot, that would be sufficient in meeting the intent of having street trees to have that vegetated buffer. So you'll see that description and recommendation from the Planning Commission. This statement about the site being cleared anyway, if this particular project does not go forward, if the applicant does intend to do any land disturbance or particularly any clearing, that will be subject to a land disturbance permit through the city. In the case of pulling stumps, that would be a Class 4 of G forest practices permit, which is also subject to review by the city as the authorizing permittee and also by the Department of Natural Resources for management. I think that's what I wanted to respond to. Was there any further clarification I could make on those points? Thank you, Council Member.
Any other comments or questions from the council?
Okay, I guess I'm going to say a few of the things I'm in agreement with you on, and maybe the rest of you could chime in your opinion. I think I would like to see the buffer increase to 30 feet, especially if no street trees.
Point of order, are we having full discussion at this point? We're still in the study session, correct? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding the...
Well, that's the purpose. That's okay. Part of the purpose of the study session.
Okay.
Just asking questions and giving opinions. Yeah. Also, clearing on lots not being built on, I'd rather not see that happen. And
think that's it. I think a lot of the concerns have been addressed by the Planning Commission, and I'm basically in agreement with the bulk of it.
I'll hold my comments.
Anything else for any other council members?
Just that the phone number's wrong up there.
It's 8311. I will fix that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
I get there eventually.
Thank you then, Stacy. We'll go ahead and close this portion of the meeting and take a recess and start our regular meeting at 6 p.m.
Just a real quick reminder,